good to see everybody out this morning. I don't have to put anything on anymore. I can't remember that to save my life. Earl's not here. I probably need to be turned up a little bit. He'll be back in just a second to get some more volume. I like to go to Panda, and we hadn't been able to go since COVID. They shut down the lobby in Siloam, and so I hadn't been since, I guess, probably early 2020. And yesterday, we got to go back. And I always like to get up to that window, and I know exactly what I'm going to get, but I like to look at everything, and then I order the same thing every time. Yesterday, as we're sitting there, I don't know what it is. People are just have gone wild nowadays. You go anywhere in public, you're going to see somebody losing their mind. Yesterday, it was kind to me because this guy walked in. There wasn't anybody in line, but he was only about a step and a half in when he started ordering. He just started yelling at the workers what he wanted, which I guess was kind of a good idea because they had it ready by the time he got up to the window. He was already ready to check out. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about people anymore. They're just wild. There's a story of a little league baseball team that was losing pretty badly, and the boys were getting pretty restless there on the bench, and so they started questioning their assistant coach about his much more attractive sister. How old was she? Was she going out with anyone? Things like that. The head coach, he didn't appreciate this line of questioning, was starting to get pretty annoyed. Not only were they losing pretty badly, but now he realized the boys didn't even have their heads in the game at all. So he decided to put a stop to it. And so in his frustration, he hollered at the boys, "When you're in the dugout, you all talk baseball." And there was a silence for about as long as a little league baseball team could have. And then a voice from the end of the bench said, "So coach, your sister play baseball?" Well, that team may have not been very motivated to win their baseball game, but they were motivated, right? Their minds were dominated by one thought, that coach's sister. They had a passion that dominated their thoughts and their conversations, and that passion for the sister gave life and excitement to an otherwise dull and depressing game. It made a difference between an experience that was dragging them down or one that would lift them up and make their lives worth living in that moment. Paul tells us in the book of Colossians that we should have a similar passion, a passion that makes our lives unique and exciting. And it's a passion that Paul says that we should never lose. So in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And then just a little bit later in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." And then again, a few verses later in verses 15 through 17, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you and one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Over and over and over again, Paul tells us to remember our relationship with Jesus. Remember that he is the Lord of our lives. But how can you tell if Jesus really is the Lord of your life? How can you tell if your relationship with Jesus is where you and he really wants it to be? Well, there's a story of a little girl that was on the way home from church, and she told her mother that the sermon this morning sort of had her confused. And the mother asked her, "Well, what was the issue with that?" And she said, "Well, the preacher said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" And the mother said, "Yes, that's true." And she said, "Well, he also said that God lives within us. Is that also true?" And again, the mother replied, "Well, yes, that is true as well." And so the little girl opined. She said, "If God is bigger than us and he lives within us, shouldn't he show through?" And he would, wouldn't he? That little girl's right. He would show through. So how do I make it that Jesus shows through? What's the best way to think like Jesus thinks? To be motivated by the same things and the same goals and objectives that drove Jesus. That's where I would love to get to the point of. I would love to get to the point in my life where I could think so much like Jesus that my behavior would be sort of like those young boys in the dugout, where I could get to the point where I didn't want to talk about much of anything else, where I couldn't think about much of anything else except that which what Jesus would think. I want to become so passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. So what are the things that Jesus is passionate about? John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Paul puts it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what motivated Jesus. That's why he came. That's why he died. And that's why he rose from the dead. And so I think if I'm going to think like Jesus, I've got to think about the sinners around me. I've got to think about ways of introducing them to the Savior, because those are the people who Jesus is most passionate about. So where do we start? How do we start? How do we begin to think like Jesus? Paul tells us that we start with prayer. If we look at verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it and with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and bow and have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come here and worship you. We pray that the things that we say and do honor you, Father, that's our number one goal. Father, we ask that you be with those that minister in the gospel all over the world, that you be with Brother Paul and those that are in the Ukraine and all the mission work going on, Father. We ask that you be with Garrett and Michaela Aiken as they go back to Bear Valley, that you continue to bless that work there. Father, we thank you so much for the forgiveness of sins, and we pray so much that you please forgive us when we do sin. We thank you for Christ and the hope of eternal life within him, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if we look back at that, you notice what Paul tells us that we should be praying for. He asks for prayers on his behalf, on behalf of the team of missionaries. He asks for prayers for opportunities to proclaim the mystery of Christ, for the ability to speak it clearly so that they can get results. Why would you start there? And maybe that's some of the wisdom of God in asking us to pray for those missionaries and those ministers of the gospel. I think God wants us to focus on other people's ability and the way that they teach Christ. And when we focus on people like missionaries and ministers and youth workers, and we're praying for the success in what they do, I think then we begin to start to pick up on some of that and some of that passion for Christ. By praying for those people that have invested so much of their time in sharing their faith in Christ, that we can be effective in sharing our love of Christ. So this morning and this week, I want you to focus on praying for some of those people that are doing mission work full time in places like India and Trinidad and Green Valley. Think of Bruce and Craig and people all over the world. Think about the various causes that this congregation is involved in. And then pray for opportunities for them this week to have the ability to clearly present the mystery of Christ to others. Every year we set aside in the budget to include things like the Riverhawks for Christ and the Razorbacks for Christ and the Spanish Literacy Program and Garrett and Michaela Aiken and so many more, World Bible School, and I know I'm leaving out a whole bunch. We support so many good works that need prayer. And having set this pattern for us, now Paul focuses to begin on how to make Jesus shine through our lives. So in verses 5 and 6, he says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. And the reason why is because those are the ones that Jesus cares about. Those are the ones that Jesus thinks about. He says, making the best use of time. And that's exactly what Jesus would do. Jesus wouldn't waste a moment in not spreading his gospel. Paul says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Because your answer might be their only introduction to Christ. None of this is rocket science. It's pretty simple. It's as simple as it gets. All Paul is telling us is to make sure people can tell that Jesus has changed you. If you want Jesus to shine through and you want to think like Jesus, you have to think sort of like you did back when you were dating. And you can remember back when you were dating, when you saw that special person that you knew that you tried to be as smart and as wise around how you acted and how you talked around them. You tried to make the most of every opportunity. You were careful about the words that you would use. And you also remember that when you thought, or maybe you did say something stupid, you remember how bad you felt afterward. You messed up and you knew it. If you and I think, are trying to think like Jesus thought, then we would sort of look at everyone around us as if we were courting them for Christ. So every time we don't speak or act very wisely around people, every time we get angry or treat someone badly, we should cringe. We've messed up. We may have pushed someone away from Jesus that Jesus loved. And I think that's the last thing that any of us want to do. I like the story of a missionary in Africa who gave a Bible to a newly converted African man. And when he gave it to the man, the man hugged the Bible close to him and expressed his great appreciation for this precious gift that the missionary had given him. But when the missionary returned back to the village a couple of days later, he noticed, much to his dismay, that the Bible looked like it had begun to fall apart, and many of the pages appeared to be missing. And the missionary asked him, he said, What happened? What did you do to your Bible? When I gave it to you, I thought you considered it to be a great gift. And the man replied, indeed, it is a very precious possession. It's the finest gift that I have ever received. It's so precious that when I returned here, I carefully chose a page and I tore it and I gave it to my mother. And then I carefully picked another page and I tore it out and I gave it to my father. And another page I gave to my wife. Finally, I gave a page of God's word to every person who lives in my village. Well, John records in Revelation that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 that we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal day. Jesus invites us to follow him. And so this morning we also encourage you to follow him. We've got one more lesson in Colossians next week, and then we'll move on. And I appreciate you all sticking with me through this. This morning, if you have a need that needs to be addressed, either that be putting Christ on in baptism to be raised up to walk in the newness of life, or if you need prayers, now would be the time to come as together we stand and we sing.